Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Oriental Aromatics Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. I now hand the conference over to the management. Thank you and over to you.
All, my name is Nupur Jain Kunia from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Oriental Aromatics Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 2026. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audience are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decision. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Dharmil Budhani, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Shamal Budhani, Executive Director, Mr. Girish Khandelwal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Parag Sadokar, Chief Executive Officer, and Ms. Kiranpreet Gill, Company Secretary. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Dharmil Budhani to start with his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Purvani. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our earnings call, con call to discuss the performance of the first quarter of the financial year 2026. Our Executive Director, Shamal Budhani, shall be briefing you all on the operational highlights for the first quarter, after which our CFO, Mr. Girish Khandelwal, will brief you on the financial highlights. Over to you, Shamal.
Thank you, Dharmil. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is my privilege to address you at the close of a quarter that underscores the resilience and adaptability of Oriental Aromatics Limited. In Q1 FY 2025-26, we achieved a 10% year-on-year increase in production volumes, even as we undertook a planned maintenance shutdown at our Bareilly site to safeguard long-term asset health. Group sales volume rose 4% year-on-year, driven primarily by the enhanced output of our hydrogenation plant, improved market acceptance, and the initial sales contribution from our Mahad facility. This growth, supported by the trust of our customers, is particularly noteworthy given that Q1 is seasonably softer across all our business segments in India. Our EBITDA margin improved sequentially to 8.03%. While margins could have been higher, they reflect the initial yet promising ramp-up phase of our Mahad facility, an impact we expect will continue for a few quarters ahead. Delivering this performance in a traditionally slow quarter for camphor and select aroma chemicals reinforces the strength of our diversified portfolio and our unwavering customer focus. Stable raw material prices provide cost visibility, while disciplined sourcing allows us to manage forex-driven pressures effectively. With festive demand ahead, robust capacity, and the right products mix, we are optimistic and expecting a stronger quarter two. The Indian market operates with a distinct seasonality, with Q2 and Q3 benefiting from the festive and winter months that drive higher consumer spending and product usage. This period is particularly favorable for our camphor, fragrances, and aroma chemicals businesses as demand accelerates across region, household, personal care, and home care segment. In camphor and terpenes, we have secured adequate feedstock well ahead of the festive production cycle to ensure uninterrupted supply. By maintaining value-based pricing in our premium, religious, and household formulated camphor, as well as powdered camphor and terpene chemicals, we aim to capture peak seasonal demand, delivering sequential volume growth. In the fragrance division, our teams are locking in briefs from national and regional brands ahead of key festive season market windows. We are delivering winning fragrances optimized for the theme of premiumization and performance by combining strong creative execution with exceptional service reliability. We will safeguard our large accounts and deepen client trust during this high demand period. International demand from our global customers for fragrances also remains strong. Stronger demand in the fragrance division naturally translates into increased demand for our specialty aroma ingredients division. Here we continue our efforts to position ourselves as a global sustainable supplier to the international fragrance and flavor industry. Incremental output from our hydrogenation facility and growth acceptance of Evermoss by the global customer community are encouraging signs that we are on the right path. At the same time, we must acknowledge potential headwinds. Recent developments regarding a 50% tariff on certain categories of Indian exports could create near-term uncertainty in select overseas fragrance and aroma chemical shipments. While our strong domestic presence and diversified product mix provides a natural cushion, we are closely monitoring these measures. We have already begun evaluating alternate market channels, making supply chain adjustments, and engaging in customer-side negotiations to mitigate any potential impact. Our brief remains firm. Challenges are inevitable in global business, but it is how we anticipate, adapt, and act that defines our trajectory. Oriental Aromatics has navigated demand cycles, currency fluctuations, and input cost spikes, and each time we have emerged stronger. Now let me request our CFO, Mr. Girish Khandelwal, to give the financial highlights. Thank you, and over to you, Girish.
Thank you very much, Shyamal. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me begin my sharing our consolidated performance for the Q1 FY26. The operating revenue stood at rupees 226 crore, reflecting a 4.5% year-on-year growth and a 10.9% decrease quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA was reported at rupees 18 crore compared to rupees 19 crore in the previous quarter and 22 rupees in the corresponding quarter. EBITDA margins stood at 8.03% as compared to 7.62% in the previous quarter and 10.29% in the corresponding quarter. Net profit after tax stood at 0.5 crore as it is impacted by higher depreciation and finance cost from recent capacity expansions. Cash profit stood at rupees 8 crore as compared to rupees 9 crore in the previous quarter. With this, we can now open the floor for questions and answers session. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Moksh Ranka from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, I just wanted to know the camphor pricing and what has been the trend last quarter and this quarter.
So we are seeing a gradual hardening of camphor pricing across the past few months. The raw material prices stay at the elevated level. However, we probably have to factor in the impact of Forex. Hence, to answer your question, we are seeing firming of pricing over the last few months.
Okay, and what are the current per kg prices in the market? And we sell some premium camphor, as you said. So do we have a, do we sell at a much higher price than market?
So Moksh, it will be difficult for you to give me a per kg price because that will depend on various factors. However, we can say that we have a relatively good amount of cost leadership when it comes to powdered camphor as well as our formulated camphor.
Okay, is it possible to give some broad range at what camphor prices is for normal camphor or even just normal camphor? Is that possible? Just a broad range.
I mean, it could be, I mean, just to give you a perspective, it could be between 450 to 550 rupees, which is a very broad range, if that helps.
Okay. And I think this is the price which has been stable. For. So, are we seeing like stable price for the last 1.5 years? There's not much volatility, I think.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, pricing is something which is very customer centric, which is driven by volumes, which is driven by multiple factors. So, you know, it's something which is not an ideal platform to really discuss about micro pricing of camphor.
Okay. That's my only question. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Saumil Shah from Paris Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I would like to know what is our current capacity utilization?
So across, except Mahad, where we are seeing volumes kind of grow in terms of monthly production and monthly sales, we can very safely say that all the rest of the plants across all our sites are running at optimal capacity of anywhere between 75 to 80% of their total peak capacity. And the Ambernath fragrance compounding facility runs on one shift, so there we have the ability to expand capacity by one more shift.
Okay, because I'm new to this company, so I think we had a big capex in FY24.
So we had a big capex which was spread over the past 1.5 to 2 years, because we had a brownfield project where one of the chemistries, which is the hydrogenation chemistry, we built a facility in our Baroda site, and we also did a greenfield expansion in Mahad, where we acquired a new site which we first developed, and then we have done phase one of a single product plant.
Okay, so even the new capacity which we did, even that is running at 75-80% utilization.
No, that is the only facility which currently is kind of post-commissioning. We are ramping up our production, and you know, we have a window of say 5 to 6 months where we go through the process of sampling, getting approvals, and then starting commercial shipments. So that facility is currently running at between 20 to 30%.
Okay, and that we do expect by end of the year it would be running at a similar capacity.
That's our objective.
Okay. And so out of our 45% international business, how much is it to the US?
So I wouldn't get into numbers, but it's something which is not very substantial to really have a large impact on an immediate basis.
Okay. So we are not seeing much impact due to the tariff on the US business?
We probably are in a wait-and-watch approach, where I think in the perfumery side of the business, especially for aroma chemicals, to really have a new vendor in takes time. So, we are kind of watching how the geopolitical situation emerges. And based on that, we will take a decision. Having said that, even in a very broad sense, even if you have to kind of move out from that supply chain entirely, you know, we have the possibilities of earmarking those materials in other markets.
Okay. Okay. And sir, can you share any revenue and EBITDA guidance for the current financial year and for FY27?
So we normally, Girish, correct me if I'm wrong, what our EBITDA guidance is between 8 to 10%. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, Parag.
Yeah, so we stick to that guidance. We would like to cross that guidance, deliver, and then come back to the investor community. Currently, the EBITDA also gets kind of restricted a bit because of the impact of the Mahad post-commissioning activity that's going on.
Okay. And in terms of revenue?
In terms of revenue, if I'm not completely off target, we've done an investment of around 200 odd crores, and so we always say in a very conservative basis that the incremental sales would be 1.7x in a period of 2 to 3 years.
Okay. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Thanks, Swami.
Thank you.
Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Saket from Sagari Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. So my first question would be, you know, Girish, if you can help me within the standalone number, I think there is also this trading business. So if you exclude the trading business, what remains is our core pre-Mahad business. So what is the EBITDA margin of that core business, excluding the trading P&L?
Hello.
Yeah.
So see, trading business also, we are getting that same type of margin, say, 2-10%. I'm sorry.
Yeah, So my question is, excluding trading, our core business right now is at 8-10% margin. Is it?
Correct.
Yeah.
So basically, in terms of percentage, it remains in the same range, 1% plus or minus.
Okay. Fair point. So then, the question to Dharmil Bhai is, you know, our broader normalized margin used to be in the 14-17% range, right? Now, and if I look at some of our peers, you know, even Mangalam or most of them have crossed those, normalized margins that they used to report. And again, it could vary from company to company, but broadly they are in the upper band or they have crossed them. On top of that, in the last 2 to 3 years, we have taken multiple initiatives like backward integration, forward integration, even, brownfield capacities, which are typically margin accretive in nature. Now, but despite all these initiatives and fairly, I think, stable business environment in the last couple of quarters, if I look at your, say, annual report as well as commentary, but our margin is way below the normalized range. So my question is, what's the reason for that? Is it like we lost any major account which was profitable? Maybe that account went under the bus post-COVID or any profitable product? So in that case, what is the now new normal? Is it like it will remain at 8-10% or is it maybe at best you can do 10-11% for the normal, the core business? I'm not talking about the Mahad and the trading. That will be my subsequent question, but that's one question that I had for Dharmil Bhai.
So I won't comment on the... Parag, I'll take the first part and then you can take the second part.
Okay.
I won't comment on the other companies. As far as Oriental Aromatics is concerned, our core business will stay in the revised guidance margins which we've given, which are not off the top of my head, but you can look at the transcripts and unless, Parag, you have those numbers.
Yeah.
So I'll answer the margin and, Parag, you can take the other half of it.
Yeah.
So primarily, just to answer your question, I think, like Dharmil rightly said, you know, we are unable to understand and we are not ready to comment on our peers as to, first of all, how they are able to achieve the sustainable EBITDA margins, because those margins actually are not even sustainable by the end industry, which is the fragrance and flavor industry. Having said that, I think if you look at pure camphor manufacturers, I think the name that you mentioned, probably their profitability has come only in the current quarter. So we need to kind of look at what is the exact reason. Otherwise, pure standalone camphor manufacturers were also having this massive problem of extremely high level of capacity in the market and very low demand. So, I mean, for us, companies which have brand new plants, where we have fully depreciated plants and are able to deliver margins which are much higher than your end industry margins, it's something which we don't understand and we don't want to comment upon. What we can tell you is that our customer base remains loyal with us. All the product categories that we operate out of continue to show growth. I mean, the last few quarters, there were a lot of instability in terms of global instability, in terms of delays, in terms of overstocking. So all these factors, like we've just started saying since the last two investor calls, that we are seeing normalization and naturalization of demand coming into the picture. And hopefully, as days go by, we should be in a position to improve our performance.
Okay. Okay. Now, and within the camphor...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Yeah. Could you rejoin the queue again, please, sir? We do have other participants in the queue.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Participants, please restrict your questions to two per participant. We'll move on to the next question. That's from the line of Mr. Yash Nayak from Kamakhya Wealth Management Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. So first question is, the FMCG stream seemed to be the steady growth for our business. So could you outline your strategy to deepen the penetration in the FMCG space, both with large established player and emerging regional brands?
So to answer this question, I'll have to divide it into two compartments. I mean, when you look at our engagement with the FMCG business, I mean, on the fragrance side, we have a very active line of communication going on with all the national and the regional brands who are active in the FMCG space in India and also our customers in Asia. And we continue to grow in our existing business with them, and we continue to acquire more and more brands which are fragranced by us, and that is something which is achieved because of our a combination of our creativity done by the creative team and our backward integration. So that's on the part of our FMCG strategy when it comes to the fragrance division. When it comes to the camphor division, we are again engaging with various FMCG players who are active in the camphor selling space. And we are exploring opportunities where we can co-work with them on our camphor powder as well as formulated camphor.
And sir, what is your current internal utilization of camphor?
We are at, Girish, correct me if I'm wrong, but we are at around between 60 to 65% internally consumed.
Right, right.
Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Arun Arora from NB Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Is it audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. Sir, since I'm new to the company, I'm just asking one basic question. Like, if you see our past revenue, let's say take revenue of, FY21, the revenue was 709 crores and PAT was 102 crores. Now, fast forward to FY24, it was 836 crores and 9 crores was the profit. Now, my first question was, we know that, you know, there was a sudden reduction in the price of camphor and then more players came out with additional capacity. So, during this period, the camphor, we had a tough time. Now, other than camphor, we also deal with aromatic ingredients as well as fragrance and flavor. So does these two divisions also had a tough time during this period? Then second question in the same one is, now FY25, the revenues have gone to 924 crores, but the PAT is 34 crores. So there is a sudden jump in the profit. So just wanted to know, now also you said camphor vertical is still undergoing a lot of challenges. So which other two verticals, is it that both the verticals have improved their revenue and the profitability, or is it only one of them? If you could share some details about that.
So Arun, to answer your question, if you actually look at what happened, say, in 2021 and then kind of look at 2024, we can compare it to what we internally call as a perfect storm, because we had a R&D pipeline and we had an investment program for our specialty ingredients division, which was kicked off in 2019 and continued till around 2023. So we continued to invest, we continued to make new products, and all these new products were at various levels of approvals with our customers. So, we had ended up doing the investment cycle and we had still not got economies of scale when it came to sales of these products. And on the top of that, we had this situation of camphor, which suddenly came within a period of 1 year. And these two situations combined together led to a situation where we had a substantial reduction in profit margin. Over the past 1.5 to 2 years, we have kind of done a lot of things on the camphor side to create and to enforce our competitive moat so that we become strong there. All the products that were kind of launched on the specialty aroma ingredient side between 2019 to 2022 are now being accepted by the customers, and hence we are seeing capacity utilization of those plants coming at optimum levels. And because these materials are also used internally by our fragrance division to add value to the fragrance, the fragrance division also has kind of benefited from the whole piece. And so a combination of these three positive factors is what you are seeing in terms of the improvement of the PAT. And the reduction was primarily because of two or three completely negative factors coming together at the same time.
Okay.
So I hope I have answered your question.
No, small clarification, the recovery in FY25 PAT, was it due to recovery in only two segments, two verticals, or is it only because of, all ingredients which you had, started the production, new products, that have reached a stable level and they have started contributing more? Is that I wanted to know?
So like I said, Arun, it's a bit of all the three divisions turning positive in terms of their contribution to the overall business. The camphor, by us taking some internal steps in terms of formulation, in terms of pharma camphor, contributing more than what it was doing. In the fragrance division, because of the backward integration, we have started winning more business and the profitability is better there. And the third part is now that all our aroma ingredient launches except Evermoss have crossed that critical path of 500 days to 600 days, which is what is needed for us to go through the cycle of product approval, product stabilization, and eventual commercial orders. All three divisions have now started contributing to an extent. And hence, okay, we are seeing the improvement.
That is very helpful, sir. So regarding the debt, when we had started this CapEx cycle, I think sometime during 22 or some, 23, the CFO had predicted the peak debt of around 360 crores. But we have done 170 crores, if you see, a year back when we completed most of the CapEx. So one of the reason was that we had postponed few CapEx, particularly the multi-purpose plant at Mahad. Is there, other than that, is there any other CapEx were postponed, or did we do, cost control and could able to complete whatever the CapEx plant other than the multi-purpose plant at a lesser debt?
So primarily, your second observation is correct. I mean, when we realize the challenges in terms of output pricing, we went into a massive optimization mode at our Baroda facility, and hence we could actually shave off certain capex which was scheduled to be done, but we found optimized ways of doing it in our current facility and current site in a very safe and a sustainable. So that's why we kind of have not really invested in that capex and optimized it.
So that means only the multipurpose plant at Mahad was only postponed, correct?
So Mahad, there were multiple ideas. One of them has been implemented. The other is not postponed. It is still being evaluated. But we also did a lot of optimization in our Baroda investments.
Okay, fair enough, sir. Sir, my last question is about your...
Already have had four questions, sir. What I would recommend... Right.
Thank you so much. Yeah. The next question is from the line of Mr. Yatharth from IGE India. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Just wanted to ask a few questions regarding the Mahad plant, like as of now, because quarter three for 25, you mentioned it had 0.5 crore.
Mr. Yatharth, there is a disturbance at your end, like a static disturbance. Could you please come again with your question?
Hi, is it much better?
No, sir. I can still hear the static disturbance at your end.
Any better, I just changed my network. Is it better?
Yeah, please go ahead again.
Just wanted to ask regarding the Mahad plan. The revenue contribution in quarter 3 FY25, it was said that it was around negative 3.5 crores or a 3.5 crore loss. What is the current update regarding that? How much revenue is it contributing?
Girish, do you have answer to this? I mean, A, or we could probably get back to you, but you said Q3 25.
Yeah, it was around 38 lakhs in the current quarter. Expecting the
more
to come in the next 38 lakhs in the current quarter.
38 lakhs, okay. And another thing you mentioned in today's conference about the revenue growth about being 1.7 times in 2 to 3 years and EBITDA margin of around 8 to 10%. Just wanted to ask the reason behind the 1.7 times. What are you seeing in the future for the next 2 to 3 years? How do you get the 1.7?
So that's the normal, Girish, am I correct? That's the normal asset turnover that we expect whenever we do an investment.
Yes, yes. For Mahad Park, it is 1.0 because of the greenfield capex.
Yeah, and I think as they've explained to you, I think the Mahad plant is in process. We've had scaling up going on, sample approvals. So I think we'll just have to be patient for a quarter or a quarter more after this. And I think the Mahad numbers will start showing in the positive.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Saket from Sagari Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the follow-up. So, I looked at the trading and stock in trade part. Right, so far we have spent around 25 crores on stock in trade, but in annual report there was a inventory of 16 crores. So can you help me? What is the revenue for the last 3 quarters when this trading business has started? What has been the cumulative revenue for the last 3 quarters, and what has been the revenue for Q1 from trading business?
Regarding the trading revenue, I'll give you separately.
Okay, sure. Now, coming to this Mahad one. So, again, Mahad one currently is at operational level. It is still making losses like 5 crore and all. So, what's the ramp-up that we are expecting? It was 38 lakhs in Q1 and then 30 odd lakhs in Q4. So, what's the ramp-up, Parag bhai, we are
say, looking at, say, Q2 onwards, like, is it EBITDA positive? And Dharmil Bhai said in a couple of quarters, maybe it can be positive. So are we talking about PAT positive or EBITDA positive for Mahab in a couple of quarters? And I think there was some 200 days auto stabilization part, right? Something that you had mentioned in the earlier calls.
Yeah, so Saket, generally, I think every product is like a new baby. I mean, and I would say that we are pretty encouraged by what is the feedback that we are getting from the samples and the commercial shipments that are being sent to customers and that are also being used internally by our fragrance division. So, you know, whether it's 200 days or whether it's 250 days is something which is of academic interest. I think what we all must be aware of is that the product is now being made in a sustainable way. The plant is running at not full capacity, but at a good capacity. And we are in the process of ramping it up. And hopefully in the coming quarters, as we have more information to share about its contribution, about its performance, you know, in our continuous engagement with the investor community, we'll keep giving you updates on the same.
Oh, sure, thanks. Now, coming to the branding at Saraswati and Fine 3, you know, something that you had talked about in the annual report in last quarter as well. So right now in India, is there any B2B business within Camphor or entire we have shifted to our branded, because some 60% was being talked about in the annual report that is now being diverted towards, say, Saraswati and Pine 3. So it's like 40% export and 60% all is now B2C. And what's the stage on that? You know, that should enhance our profitability, right? Because even the company that we talked about, their B2C business is what has, turned around. And as you rightly said, that, you know, that core B2B business still is struggling. So any thoughts on or guidance on that
front? So, Saket, it's a combination of B2C plus B2B plus exports plus pharma, which kind of contributes to our camphor and terpene chemical business. I wouldn't be able to give you a complete breakup of how much is each contributing. Like Girish has mentioned and in our annual reports, that 60% of that remains in the formulated space. The remaining can be divided into these two, three verticals.
How's been the ramp up so far? You know, because I'm seeing very few listings right now on Amazon. Is it like we are focusing more on the brick and mortar one, or online is still slightly less present?
We are looking at all options. We are looking at GT primarily, because that's okay. Something which we have been active historically. We are also looking at modern trade. We are also looking at private labels. Everything.
Okay. And just for the 8-10% EBITDA guidance that you...
Sir, please rejoin the queue for any follow-up questions, please. We do have other participants.
Okay, ma'am.
Thank you so much, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Arun Arora from NB Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question was regarding the Ambernath facility. Now, if you see, the capacity utilization must be going up, and hence the cost of running should be... fully leveraged out. So plus with many of the ingredients we are making in-house, so we must be making better margins in, you know, fragrance and flavor compared to earlier years. So my question was, is it, you know, if you see last year or two, we have been getting good contracts in this segment or in this vertical. So question was, are we getting this business by foregoing some of these increased margins, or is it for any other reason?
So I think if you look at the economics of the Ambernath plant, I mean, compounding has an input-output ratio of 1:1, unlike the chemical business. Hence, there is not an extremely high level of contribution in terms of overhead costs. Having said that, all the business that we acquire is based on our expectation of profitability and is not acquired by either reducing the margin or giving an extended credit, etc., to the customer.
Okay.
The ability to be a low-cost, sustainable manufacturer with the advantage of backward integration, which is unavailable with most of the other fragrance companies that are in the market.
Okay. That's helpful, sir. My next question is about Camphor, where we have taken over the our earlier distributor's sales, where we are making it directly to the consumer. My question was, a year or two back, when our competitors came out with the new capacity, there was a situation where the Camphor price at which we were giving it to the dealer distributors had to be reduced, while the dealer distributors did not reduce the price and they were selling at the higher price, making good margin in the process. Now, my question to you is, during that time, Oriental did not take advantage of that. So now that we are selling 60% of our production directly to the consumers, in future, if such situation comes up, we would be getting that benefit?
So like we mentioned in the, like Shamal mentioned in the opening remarks, that this business for us is something which is a value added, whatever opportunities we get in terms of realization, in terms of creating a credible business case so that we stay a very strong brand, will be undertaken to ensure that the brand stays strong and the profitability improves. Having said that, broadly, we can say that between powdered camphor and formulated camphor, you will have a little better margin in the formulated.
Okay, sir. Am I allowed one more question or no?
We have a strict moderator.
Just wanted to know, is management is inclined for any tie-up with any, the F&O big MNCs for something like CDMO or CMO type of business?
So I think being active in all the areas of the F&F business, which is compounding, which is ingredients, any opportunity that comes to us as an opportunity of co-working gets into a make or a buy situation. And to be very honest, whenever we have evaluated a make or a buy, for us, it has always been that let's make it. It might take a little while longer, but it will be more sustainable. So for us, any kind of such activities, if and when they are presented, will be evaluated. But as of now, we have no intention of getting into such a relationship.
And we're a company that believes a lot in freedom to operate, especially because we are in the generic space, so it's going to stay that way.
Point. Lastly, if all the three verticals put together with all the capexes that
Sorry to interrupt. Could you come again into the queue, please? Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Mr. Dhawan Shah from Alpha Curate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question is on the Mahar side. I think I missed your part. You mentioned some revenues from Mahar during the quarter. So can you share the numbers? What was the revenue contribution from Mahar last quarter and the Q4? And how much is the EBITDA loss?
So we can, Dhawan, if you can reach out to Valorem and send your question, we could probably share it with you. Normally, we look at all the revenue contribution commentary and EBITDA commentary based on the total group or based on the divisions. We do not go micro about offering site-wise information. But if there is something that we can offer, you can share it with Valorem and we will revert back.
Understood. But on the margin-wise, if we want to reach to around 13-14% EBITDA margin from the Mahar plant, is that achievable at the 34? I mean, can it be break-even 30-40% capacity utilization, or can you share some cost dynamics over there, if it is possible?
So So our intention is never to run the plant at 30 to 40%. Our intention is as we go and kind of reach this initial time frame of 500 to 600 days, again more acceptance globally. We are completely aware of the competitive landscape that is there in this product. It's a matter of time when we will be in a position to get stabilized returns and stabilized profit margins. Whether it will be 14% or 12% or 10% will be decided by the market forces, because this is a generic material. But we are very confident of achieving first the numbers of optimum utilization of the plant, and then by a combination of internal process re-engineering and being offering a globally stable product to achieve our eventual margin goals, which and are a few quarters away.
And in terms of product approvals, have we received majority of the approvals, or how is it so from our side?
I have the most severest of my customer, which is my internal fragrance division. I mean, if they approve a product, then we are very confident that as we reach out to our global customers, we should not have a problem. Having said that, point number two is every single significant consumer of aroma ingredients in the world today, and I can very proudly say that, is buying, if not multiples of 10, but at least one product from us. So I think we are known as a sustainable supplier of aroma ingredients to customers worldwide. So when a new product gets added, it's a good thing for them, because it kind of gets added to the basket that Oriental is offering to them. And hence they don't have to look for just one supplier for one material. And it's a win-win situation for us, because it kind of gives us the ability to do basket pricing.
Understood, sir. And,
so if you add
all
these points together, we are looking at a very high level of confidence that we will be able to achieve our numbers.
Understood, sir. And I think you mentioned that Mahad capex we did roughly 200 odd crore and asset turn is roughly 1.7x. So I think peak revenues could be 350 odd crore from that facility. So out of that, 50% is easily achievable by the end of the next year. I mean, 180 crore or top line.
You know, You will, I will probably, Girish, correct me if I'm wrong, because the Mahad capex has two elements to it. One element was the plot development cost, which has been done, where the recovery of that cost will be achieved when we do phase one, phase two, phase three. The investment that has been done in the Evermoss plant, there we are looking at a asset turnaround of, Girish had corrected in the previous with the previous speaker, for Mahad he's looking at 1.25, so it will be a little longer gestation period. Having said that, I think we have shown time and again, I mean, we have launched more than 40 products in the last 5 years, and all of them today are globally accepted. And all of them in our plants are running at 70 to 80% capacity. So we are pretty confident that without getting into numbers, without getting into exact timelines, because that's something which is very difficult to predict. You know, once you lose a window of 6 months RFQ, then you can reach out to that customer only after 6 months. So all these things taken into consideration, we are pretty positive.
Sure, sir. Done. That's all from my side, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Arun Arora from NB Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, I just wanted to know, you have been giving the asset turnover for the new capexes that are coming up. Just want to know if I have to put all the facilities that we have in the three verticals together, based on the current prices, how much turnover we can expect?
Arun bhai, it's a very complicated question. I mean, I also would like to take the opportunity to invite you to come and have a cup of coffee with me and Girish. You have asked too many questions, so, you know, we can have a one-on-one meeting and we can have a discussion. Why don't you just drop an email to Valorem and we will probably look into the question and revert back to you, sir.
Sure, sir. Okay. Lastly, any CapEx plan for this year?
So we are going to go slow. We are going to probably take a pause. We are going to evaluate what's happening with all the CapEx that we have done and take it to its logical conclusion. Having said that, nothing is on the table and nothing is off the table. If there are any opportunities that that come by based on the ideas identified by our own creative team or any interactions that we might have with our customers globally, we are completely open to the idea, and the balance sheet and the P&L has the leverage to kind of, and we also have the land and the EC to go ahead and do the investments. As of now, we are going to pause and we are going to probably review and ensure that what we have started walking upon, we take it to the conclusion.
Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you, Arun.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for this session. I now hand the conference over to the management from Oriental Aromatics Limited for the closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please do reach out to our IR managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Oriental Aromatics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.